Hey, welcome back to Friends You Can Grow With. I'm your host, Matt Nesbury, and sitting down with me today, two new friends. We have Lonnie and Robert here. So Lonnie, Robert, why don't you guys go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah, I'll let you start.
It's very nice, ladies first.
Yeah. We've been married for 20 years and have three boys, a 16-year-old, nope, he's 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 12-year-old.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'm originally from Florida, Panhandle, Florida. Moved to Texas with her, convinced her to move to Florida initially, but then, you know, had to eventually make its way back to Texas. Mm-hmm. So we moved here, back here in 2012 and been here ever since. Started going to the church probably 2013, shortly after we got here. We recently kind of got led by the Spirit to kind of start getting into ministry a little bit more and trying to kind of lead or facilitate some marriage classes here at the Ark, which has been a blessing for our own marriage, right? That's kind of where things have gone so as of recently. So, I think that pretty much sums it up.
That's awesome. And you segued perfectly into the reason we have you guys here. We're going to talk about Florida. We're going to be talking about marriage today. You guys have taught a marriage class, as you said, and you're teaching another one this summer, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Why don't you walk us through, let's talk about the one you taught last semester. What was that about? Give us kind of an overview of that.
Yeah, so the class was based on a book written by Dr. John Harley. No.
Willard Harley.
Willard Harley. It's an older book that he released. It's called...
His Needs, Her Needs.
His Needs, Her Needs. Is it really the premise of that book? It's kind of broken down into some fundamental needs that every person needs in a relationship, and then kind of gives you some ideas of how to meet those needs, really, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as you're meeting those needs for your spouse, then you know the feeling of love or attachment or connection to them will continue to grow, right? Mm. And that's kind of the basis of that initial book, and so we. He has some material that we've kind of taken and adapted to this class here where we go through kind of a very interactive class. We put a lot of the work goes into the couples themselves, right? So the class is more of a review of the material that they went through during the week and kind of the worksheets and workbooks and materials that was taught during that week. This current semester, the summer semester we're teaching, is the second book that he wrote, which is really Love Busters. So the same thing is the things that you do properly to kind of help reinforce and continue to build the love in the relationship is the counter to that is the things you do wrong, right? Or the things that continue to draw away from that relationship and continue to build strife or distance and gap, right? Mm-hmm. And so it kind of helps you identify those, teaches you a little bit about them and kind of maybe helps you realize that maybe you didn't think you did some of these things or just give you a little more insight into them to help you, you know, not do them or try to, in certain circumstances, alleviate some of those problems, right? And so this will be we'll see how that class goes this summer. And so we kind of do it or been doing it or trying to do it is where you can take that class and it'll follow on in the next semester into the next one, right? And you pretty much get all the material for those two classes. So,
That's awesome. So what made you guys want to start teaching classes about marriage? You said that you kind of felt led to do more ministry. What led to marriage being the specific? Is it because you guys have a perfect marriage?
No, that is not the case. Okay. And you can jump in anytime you want. So we went about 15 years in marriage, kind of blindly going about life, right?
Yeah.
Where I think... ran into some issues and some problems, but like one of the counselors we were visiting made a good representation of what our marriage was like is essentially two roommates that were just living life, right? Mm-hmm. Just happened to be cohabitating, really, right? And we kind of realized like through some of the other challenges and problems that got associated with that because of this drift or this divide between us kind of led other things into the relationship, right? Other friends, you know, that kind of stuff to where it just kept drawing us further and further away. And then we realized like, you know, we've got three kids and we've got this life that we're just kind of meandering through together, yeah, but not really together, right? That we realize like that we've got to make a change if we think this is going to last outside of what was just holding the relationship together, which was just the kids, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking at them getting older and they're gone. What's next, right?
Right.
Well, like, I don't really even know her anymore, right? Yeah. Or maybe she doesn't even like me, right? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing, right? And you kind of start to realize like, where has all this gone? And we've spent a bunch of time through counseling and trying to resolve some of these other problems that kind of crept into the relationship, and realize that there is so many couples that are in that same situation, right? Mm. You've got the marriages that are just really visibly broken, right? And yeah, just lots of other problems and things that have gotten in there that really just show it's struggling. Mm-hmm. But then you've got a large percentage of marriages that don't really know that there's something really wrong. Mm. Maybe they sense that there's some gap or some divide, right? But they don't know that there's anything different than that, right? Mm-hmm. And the longer we spent kind of working on the marriage and working on growing together, getting to know each other again, right? Mm-hmm. The more we realize like, holy cow, this could be so much better.
Yeah.
Right? And we wanted to be able to share that with other people, that life doesn't have to just be going through and executing days on a calendar, right? And
yeah,
just getting through as many years as you can get through, right? You can actually really enjoy the time you have together in any stage of life, as long as you are aware of what stage of life you're in. And then, you know, what, you know, getting to know your partner and being and sharing that with them through mm-hmm. those stages, right? So I think that's really kind of what really brought us to that point is, you know, a lot of our friends are in the same situations and we would talk to them and, you know, just realize that there's such a big need for all of that. So that's kind of what brought that together, I guess. So,
yeah.
Anything else?
No? Okay. No, you covered it. Awesome. So when you were looking to teach your class last semester, how did you come about landing on the book, His Needs, Her Needs? Is that something you guys had been through that was given to you, or how did you go about sourcing that material?
So we actually took a class here at the church with another couple, Gail and Mark Daniels. Mark, yeah. They actually taught this class. It was called, I think, Marriage Dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple of years. And we took that class just trying to kind of figure out what we wanted in our, not what we wanted, but kind of just to build our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took that class, fell in love with it. And they actually had reached out to us about teaching the class then. Gail got sick, unfortunately. And so there was kind of like this halt on trying to get the class into the church. One day I was at a restaurant. This is going to be a long story.
That's fine. It was a long podcast.
I was at a restaurant with a friend. We hadn't talked to him in a couple of years. And he saw me. He's like, oh, my gosh, Lonnie, I needed to get with you. You know, Gail passed away, unfortunately. Mm. But she was like, or Mark was like, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you because we wanted you to take this class on at the ARC. And he was like, I'm going to call Derek and set it up. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up reaching out to Derek. So it was like a lot of little steps. You know, and you could see where God was kind of putting us in line to do that, especially because I saw him out of the blue or whatnot. And so then that happened. We sat down with him and Derek and discussed this class. And so that's how we found the book, was taking it with him.
Yeah.
And we took the class that they did was a little bit different. And so we had gone through again and did like we initially got kind of certified through the program to teach the class, like almost facilitate the class.
Okay.
And then once we did that, we realized like, okay, there's some things we can change and adapt to really the culture of the ARC and make this a little more effective and easier, more affordable to get to, you know, and just make it more accessible to a large number of people. So she's taken the brunt of all of that. She is amazing at putting all that material together.
Yeah.
Me, I'd just be like, I don't know. I'd just sit in a room and talk about it for a while, right? But like, she's got a lot of structure to it, gives them a lot of homework to do. And it's really, I think one of the couples that were in the class last semester with us was, they said it, what this class does is gives you essentially a structured conversation, right? Hmm. So there will be topics that are going to be uncomfortable to talk about. But it gives you a structure to it. So it takes essentially that the emotional or the feeling that like, why did you ask me that question? Right. It takes all that away because it's like, well, I don't know. The book said to do it. Right. So you just stop being defensive about it and you just figure out how to work through that and discuss those problems and answer those questions. And I think that's the best part about it is, you know, you're not having to just sit there blankly and go learn to communicate, right? I think through the class, mm-hmm. you learn about each other at such a deeper level that you learn how to effectively communicate with each other. It is painful at times, right? Yeah. You do it wrong. But through that, it really helps build that lower level understanding of each other to be able to communicate better on a more effective level, which I think is one of the biggest problems marriages have in general is communication, yes, but communicating effectively to each other, right? Mm. Like you can talk to each other or have a shared calendar and I've communicated these activities, but you've not really communicated the underlying reason of why I want to go do those things or why you need these things, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think people think in a relationship is like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to hurt the other person's feelings because I don't want to tell them everything, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, yes, in a way, I think you need to share everything with them, but it's how you do it, right? Mm-hmm. And the way you care and handle those conversations, I think, is what builds a stronger, more intimate relationship. And these classes with these questions and the way it's structured kind of forces you to do those things, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's really powerful. It was for us, and it seems to have made a huge impact in the few couples that did it this last semester. So we're encouraged to see kind of where it goes and from there on out. So.
What kind of feedback did you get from the couples in your class?
Yeah.
So far, they all said they really enjoyed it. They said that it helped them, you know, communicate to each other, like he described the organized communication.
Yeah, right.
And so I think it was very positive feedback. Yeah.
We've had one couple that's decided to sign back up for the summer one, too, to do the second part. So I think from that alone, it kind of helps, you know, reinforce the fact that it does work. The material does work.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, us, we're not really doing a ton of teaching, right? We're mm-hmm. just facilitating them coming in. And then there's a bunch of questions that we'll answer together as a class, right? But it's really, there's some of these times when it's like, okay, you know, you're really upset about something in a relationship or with your spouse, or you're unhappy about this thing. And a lot of times, like us as couples or people, we want to just go to the negative part of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm super unhappy about this because you do this, you do this, you do this, right? We try to put all our problems on other people, right? We don't take any onus on any of those problems. And I think this class helps you kind of change your mindset on that a little bit because the way we phrase the questions, the way the questions are asked, it's like, how are you feeling when those things happen to you, right? So you have to spend a lot of time digging into yourself. It's not a spouse bashing session. It's like, why do I feel this way when these things happen, right? Which then when you get to understand yourself a little bit better in those situations, you can then express those situations better to your spouse in a way that they can understand it. And then you're on a different level of communication, right? You're not afraid to share the things that you're upset about or concerned about or fearful of with your spouse because they are then your best friend. You've kind of changed your mindset from it's me against them to us against everything that's happening to us in life, right? And I think it's a good structured way to get there, right?
Well, I also think like in the his needs, her needs, it's a lot of selflessness.
Yeah.
And so you're putting your spouse's needs before your own.
Yeah.
And so that I think is, you know, that's what God wants us to do. And that's what he did for us. And so that I think is really big in the class too, is because you have to then think about your spouse before any of your needs. Like, what does Robert want? Or like he's real good at like doing the dishes when he came home from a long day of work and I've cooked and then he does the dishes. And so that's really nice. And so it's about finding those things that your spouse appreciates, not what you appreciate that he has a concept in the book called a love bank. And so if you look at it like a bank and your banking account, and you're adding deposits or withdrawals. And so I want to do what I can for Robert to put the biggest deposit in his love bank.
Yeah.
And so it's like about talking about those needs. And he's like, well, you know what? I don't really need, or I could tell him, I don't need you to do the dishes. I'd really like you to, you know.
Wash the car. Right. Something, right?
I was trying to think of something on the needs because they, he, you know, there's like, 10 needs is what they go through. And so you're kind of like, instead of doing that, maybe I don't need, they call it, I guess, domestic support would be household chores and helping with the house. I might need financial support. And so he's going to be the breadwinner in the family. Yeah. And that might be my top need. And that speaks the most to me.
Yeah.
And so then he's got to not figure out, but it's about me communicating what that need is and not.
Well, and like, you know, perfect example is that is, you know, at different stages in life, these things, these needs that you have will change, right? And so if you're constantly pursuing your spouse and understanding your spouse, you'll these things will come up. We had, you know, it was early in the marriage. We had one kid, right? And she was still working. So my mom was babysitting for the for us at that period of time. And then when we went to go have the second one, after she went back to work, she was like, you know what? We really need to fix this. I want to be there and raise the kids at that young age, right? And at the time we didn't really have a financially, it probably wasn't going to work very well, right? And so it definitely wasn't going to work if she just quit, right? So it was like having that conversation and being like, hey, you know, the things that mattered to me, you know, last year are different now, right? I would like it if we could figure out a new budget or a new scheme to where I can stay home and work, you know, from and raise the kids, you know, in that kind of situation. So we had to make changes, you know, with lifestyle changes or budgetary change, or actually just try to have a budget, right?
Yeah.
To be able to make that work, right? To where she, I could meet that need for her in the way that she really needed it. And you said it right. Like there's times when, because we're so selfish, right? We think, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna go buy her a bunch of flowers on the way home, right? Because it's a big impact, right? Oh, I can give you this thing because I like giving gifts, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it feels like, well, why wouldn't you like that? I gave that to you, right? But, and it's not that it's not appreciated. It just doesn't do as much as, say, folding the clothes, right? That would impact her in a far greater way than me just buying her flowers, right? And so you end up, without knowing it or thinking about it in a selfless way, you end up doing a lot of things for the other person that don't make a lot of impact, right? There's a phrase that some other podcast you like listening to is like, do the least amount of work for the most amount of impact, right? I think everybody really wants to do that.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing in the relationship is do the things that make the most impact for your spouse and not a bunch of different things, right? Just do the things that they really need. And understand what those are truly, right? And to kind of work that into your life. So,
So you're saying by default, we naturally do for others what we would appreciate.
That's right. Right. And I think, you know, if you go back and think about it, right, the things that you like doing or the things that you, you know, obviously, you know, try to push to the other people, right? And I think you have to do a lot of soul searching when you do that. And you've got to really understand why you're doing it, right? And I think these types of classes and even these concepts, right, is like let you think about it a lot and of yourself of why do I do these things, whether they're good or bad, right? And even with the Love Busters is why do I get super upset when you know, I don't know, the dog isn't walked or groomed or whatever, right? Like what are these things that are really bothering me and why does that bother me? And then relay that in an not in an angry way but in a loving, caring way to your spouse or to your family, right? That this is where this is coming from. This is why that bothers me. And then you just try to kind of work through those things that way, right?
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of the class is learning about yourself as well and what you want, how you hear things. How do you walk couples through that in that phase when they're trying to figure out how they best understand and communicate?
Yeah, and so during the class, some of these questions that are asked, they'll have already kind of gone through that a little bit at home. But then when you get up, the class is kind of structured a little bit different than most classes. So you'll end up answering these predetermined questions in front of the class, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little uncomfortable from that standpoint, right? Which I think is good too, because it puts you in a different position to be vulnerable, right?
Okay.
And so it teaches you to be vulnerable and teaches you to be uncomfortable a little bit in the situation, which then also helps you facilitate some of those things.
Yeah.
But like there's a few examples in some of the worksheets and stuff that kind of helps you walk through how to have one of these difficult conversations where you've got to bring something to your spouse that is, they may not like it, right? And so it's like one of those... way did it earlier today when we were doing something else. but like, it kind of gives you a structured thing that's like almost like a ABC thing. It's like
a template.
To where you can kind of like, these things happen, you know, this happens to me, or I get feel this way when this and this happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then gives it's like where you take time to, like, where it's structured to where, you know, you give them the bad news, right? Of this is the mm-hmm. thing that is uncomfortable for me. This is what I'm not super happy about. And the other spouse really is in a receiving mode. It's at first when you start doing these things, I mean, everybody's going to have, I want to rebuttal, right? Yeah. I want to come back at you with why that's fine that I did that thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, I didn't take the garbage out. Well, I didn't take the garbage out because, you know, it was raining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, it doesn't matter. It had to get out there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter why it didn't happen. Your spouse was unhappy about it not having been done, right? Mm-hmm. And so instead of always constantly trying to come up with the excuse of why it's okay that I did the thing that upset you, it takes you and puts you in a situation where you just have to listen, right? I got 15 minutes after you finish that, I'm not allowed to talk. Right. And so I think, and you said they had this study at the Gottman Institute, right, where they had two couples instrumented up in their love lab, right, where they're tracking all this data and all this stuff from these people. And they would just monitor this couple for like a week in this house. Right.
Wow.
And then they would start to get into an argument. You could see tensions rising and all that stuff. But they would just go in and say, oh, hang on, let's take a break. The instrument's broken. Right.
Huh.
And they'd wait 15 minutes, right? And these people are just like, okay, well, we can't argue right now. I don't have any instruments on. I'm going to take a break. And then they'd come back and go, okay, cool. Everything's working. We got it back up and running. They didn't change anything.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you'd see all their heart rates going up, blood pressures going up, sweat, you know, anger. And then as they said, oh, the instruments are broken, you'd slowly see in those few minutes, like, all of that went away. And then they were left with, well, what were we even talking about, right?
Huh.
And it, like, put them in a different frame of reference that I don't have to be defensive about everything, right?
Yeah.
I can accept things that I don't like because it's not about my feelings. It's about that person's feelings, right?
Huh.
She's upset with it. I can't negate that. That's her feeling, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of justifying why I did it is understanding that she was hurt by it. And what can I do to not do that again?
Yeah.
Or to fix the current problem we're in.
And in that way, you kind of don't see it as a personal attack.
That's
more
right.
As an attacking the problem.
The problem. That's
okay.
Exactly right. Yeah. You take it away from you against each other and us to figure out how to best move past this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest part of it is really, like she said, is, you know, taking the selfishness out of the relationship, right? And figure out what is best for the two of you in every stage of life as you go through. So
yeah. Treating the marriage as its own whole kind of entity that you're both working to defend.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And it sounds like a huge part of this is communication from both his needs, her needs, and the love busters.
Absolutely, yeah.
Why are we so bad at communicating?
That's a good question, right? I think it's everywhere too, in business and, you know, I don't know. I think our society is so eager to short circuit everything that we don't really take the time to understand what it is we're trying to relay or we're trying to even talk to another person, right? We're it's out there, right? I said what I said, you know, I tweeted that, done, right? Like, but people on the other end are like, I don't even know what that was supposed to mean, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not effective. It wasn't intentionally provided at that moment for that circumstance, right? It's just noise. And I think you remove a bunch of that stuff from your marriage and it's about intentionality of the things that you're doing, the things I'm saying, right? The time we spend together and just try to work it from that angle instead of just ignoring each other and hoping that life gets better, right? And and just, oh, I communicated because I told her in the middle of when she was trying to get the kids in bed that, oh, I've got a meeting tomorrow at 10, and you wonder why you know she wasn't even paying attention. Not wasn't her fault. You just didn't, you know, read the room properly to understand when was the right time to relay this stuff, because there is a right and a wrong time to give information too, right? You gotta, you know, your audience needs to be in a receiving mode. And I think there's some of that stuff too we've learned in this class while teaching is, it these things need to be said, but they don't have to be said when you want to say them either. Mm. They need to be said and provided when that person is ready to receive it. Mm-hmm. And some of the times it's like, you even have to go like, hey, I've got something we need to talk about. Let me know when a good time is, right? Not just, oh, I'm going to do it right now when you're in the middle of doing dishes or yeah. in the middle of cooking, right? To where you put the other person in the defensive mode of trying to understand, like, I got to finish what I'm doing here and try to listen and all this stuff. So I think it's a big about just understanding when the right times to do these things are too. And it's about when the other person's ready to receive these things.
Well, yeah. I also think people learn how to communicate from like their family.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like his family right. communicated totally different than my family. And so like learning how they communicated, and when we came together,
yeah,
we wanted to communicate like our family did. Right, and right. so, you know, his was kind of loud. Mine was not very argumentative. Uh-huh. And so if he raised his voice just a little bit, I shut down. And so it was yeah. something we had to work through huh. was just, he didn't think it's loud, or, you know, right. he could
yeah,
even be,
how it was raised.
It's, you know,
yeah.
it could even be a calm conversation, but he goes up just a little bit. And for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, to me, that's wow. like, yeah, it's intense, right. even yeah. just a little bit. And so that then, you know, makes me shut down. I don't want to talk to you. You know, we're not going to discuss this. And that, when we went through counseling and she asked us that, like, how'd your parents communicate? Mm-hmm. And then we kind of started talking about that. We realized how, I mean, this is like 20 years into yeah. our marriage, right. you know, yeah. and we're like, oh, wow. Yeah. I never thought about, never huh. looked at it through his eyes, you know? And so sometimes yeah. it's about, I think, even looking back to how your family, your parents communicated, you know, or you and your siblings, because you're going to hold on to a lot of those things and bring them into your marriage. And then if you, you know, you kind of need to talk about that, I think, yeah. with your spouse too, because that changes how you communicate yeah. as well.
And even in the most, you know, well-intentioned moment of providing information, if you did it in a way that was disrespectful or not in a loving way that that person can receive it well, then it's not going to get executed properly either.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot about deeply understanding your spouse, right? And mm-hmm. and then working around your own desire to do things in a way that best benefits them, from the things they like to the conversation to activities, all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting because it's kind of like this scavenger hunt again, right?
Yeah.
And things can change, right? Different, like, you know, kids or, you know, they get older, now they're into sports and all this stuff. Your life changes all the time. And so it's like this constant journey of understanding and learning.
Yeah.
And learning about somebody that, you know, is with you, intended to be with you forever. Right.
Yeah.
Like, marriage is not a short-term goal, right?
Right.
It's a long-term effort of you living life together until the end, right?
So yeah.
The most intimate relationship you'll ever have is the one with your spouse. So it's the one you should care the most about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And handle with the most amount of care. And so like you're, it's not so much about the term intimate conversation, but it's about the manner in which you relay the information or the care in which you hold that conversation, right?
Mm.
So if that conversation is always in with the full intent of being as loving and caring, it doesn't matter if it's about sports, but the way you care for that conversation is makes it an intimate conversation, right? And the deeper you get to know your spouse, the more those types of things. And I think some of the biggest ones, there's like 10, each one of these had like 10, right? 10
mm-hmm.
Love busters and 10 needs
mm-hmm.
Or things that, you know, you want to fill that love of the other person. A lot of them would come out to the same thing, right? Like, there's just some of them that everybody really wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, at a true level, they really want to be intimately connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through conversation or activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really speaks to what you were talking about earlier, is why are we so bad at communication, right? It's because ultimately that's one of the biggest things that will bring you closer together, is good, intimate conversation. So, of course, Satan wants to attack those things that would bring you closer together, right?
Yeah.
So the things that make this relationship stronger and make these two people a stronger witness for Christ is the things he's going to attack the most, right? And I
yeah.
think that's really why we're as bad as we are at communicating. So
yeah, but having those intimate conversations can really help bridge that gap and yeah. sustain your relationship.
Right, right. And the more you do that, the more you can really feel confident and comfortable with giving that other person those things that you're most concerned about, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they are things that you're upset about or something you're just scared, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to admit I'm scared about anything, right? But there's a lot of things I'm scared about, right?
Yeah.
And so having someone that you can share that with that is your closest intimate friend and partner is, you know, something that is not many things in life are as good as that, right?
Yeah.
To be able to have that support system. So,
yeah. So let's jump to the book. We've hit it a little bit already, Love Busters, because that's what you're teaching this semester. Walk us through kind of the premise of that book.
Yeah, so Love Busters is kind of the opposite of the his needs, her needs, right? It's it's identifying these big areas in life that draw away or restrict the amount of care and love you can provide to another person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be your actions of, you know, angry outbursts or independent behavior, things like that, right? Where you things that you do naturally in life or that you as yourself don't really think impact other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of helping you identify where you might have those things in your life. And then from your spouse's perspective, not and even your own, right? You'll find out through that class that it's like, oh man, I really do these things. I didn't realize they were that bad or how much they impacted my spouse, right? When these things are happening. Sometimes you just think, oh, well, that was the way I was raised, right? Like, I'm just loud because that's the way we showed we cared about each other. The louder you got, the more you cared.
Yeah.
Right? But for her, that's the complete opposite, right?
Yeah.
So that does nothing for her except deeply draws away the things that show care and compassion to her, right?
Huh.
And so it helps you identify those things in yourself as well as gives you an avenue to understand what those really mean to the other person. Because a lot of times you'll get a term or something, right? Like, you know, independent behavior. You're like, okay, I guess I know what that means. I'm an independent person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may not necessarily mean the same thing to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to identify these things in the way your spouse also identifies with it and getting to understand it from their perspective will help you kind of reframe the way you behave and the things you do, right, that impact the other person. So you stop doing the things that negatively impact them, and then you focus with the previous class all the things that do provide positive impacts to them, right? So quit doing the things that make the other person mad and do the things they like, right?
Yeah.
Then you're automatically going to have a better relationship.
Yeah.
Right? And I think sometimes we got the questions early on in the classes like, okay, well, doesn't it feel artificial, right? He's just doing it because I want it done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, that's fair in a way, right? I think, you could probably feel like it's that way. But you also got to realize that that person is also sacrificing the way that they want things done so that it impacts them the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's not, you know, it's going to feel difficult at times because you haven't learned those habits or behaviors. But the more you do it, the more impact it has on the relationship and the more that person realizes, like, I want to do these things for her now, right? And even in a struggling relationship where you are wondering, well, what if I do all of these things for this person and I get nothing in return?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what Christ did for us, right? I mean, he did way and above everything that we will ever do in return, but he did it, right? Because he knew that was what we needed, right? And I think when you start pouring into the life of your spouse, regardless of what you're getting back in that moment, your attitude changes a bit, right? You stop becoming so defensive about why me and why do all these things happen to me? And you start thinking about it from a perspective of what does God want me to learn through this situation? And then you can see how much it affects the spouse and it does break down those barriers over time, right? And that other spouse starts to come around to the fact that maybe life doesn't have to be this way, right? And you can see how much she sacrificed or how much she's poured into me. And like, you know, then it's like, okay, I can start seeing those impacts in the relationship change, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a powerful set of books, you know? And I think, you know, the concepts seem simple at the top, right? And it's just like, oh, okay, why can't I do those things, right?
Right.
And then these classes and these books kind of help you work out why you haven't been doing it and what you can do to go do those things, right?
And it's similar to what you were saying with his needs, her needs. Step one is kind of figuring out yourself.
Yep.
Step two is figuring out your spouse and trying to make those two work together.
Yeah, that's right.
What are some specific love busters that you guys talk about in your class? You said there are 10. I won't make you name all 10. I'm not that mean of a host. But what are some, you don't have to share from your personal marriage, but like things that you've seen couples in your class say, oh yeah, that's a big one that we've struggled with. Or,
well, I know we've talked about independent behavior, which is one he mentioned.
Okay.
And that one is basically you're kind of off doing things by yourself.
Yeah.
You probably don't invite your spouse all the time. Maybe you go out with friends and you don't think to include them. And so he talks about that being a love buster.
Okay.
Because your spouse should be like the first person you think about.
Huh.
And so he also, his fix for that is like interdependent behavior. So you're including them in everything. In the book, he discusses, he says, like, if you picture your life as a house or a house and you have your rooms, like a blueprint, and you have every part of the blueprint. So you're like, okay, this is my work life, my marriage, my kids, the gym, help me out with some other things in like church.
I stopped at gym. I didn't do that. So.
So you have all of these different places and it's like, does your spouse have permission to your phone? Does your spouse have permission to have access to all of these things? And so it's like, if you sit back and you're like, well, no, they don't really like have access to my phone, or no, I don't really like them to know my gym friends.
Right.
Then you're like, well, there's a problem. Like they need to be like, intricately woven and know everything. My calendar, what am I doing tomorrow? Right. Am I just throwing it at him and saying like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, check with him first. And so like you're interweaving your life together.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the, we had another one called Annoying Habits. And that one's just pretty much just like anything you could think of.
Anything
really, he's like, throw it in there.
Yeah. Okay.
If we didn't hit it with
like
the other
one.
That's
right. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Fill in the blank.
But we, because we talk about this one every time, but so he has this thing with his toothbrush.
Okay.
And he clicks it to like dry it off on the sink.
As you do.
Yeah. How else do you dry off the toothbrush? But okay.
But he's done this our entire marriage. And so one day, I guess it just started just annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would do it and in the morning.
And I think it was like at a time when we weren't really super close. Yeah.
Tensions
right?
were already high.
Yeah. So it's these
and
things.
And so it was like a red flag.
Right.
Like, and so that is like something, if it's something that you've been doing for a while and then it's like annoying, maybe there are other issues that you need to like deal with. But I didn't really discuss this with him. And then in Mark and Gail's class, we did Annoying Habits. And I was like, oh, I'm going to tell him.
Tell him, right?
And then, but then it was like, by that time, he really does really good at not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And then he'll do it. He'll be like, clink. And
it'll
like,
be like one of them, right? Like, clink. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting, it doesn't even faze me anymore because I feel like, because we've worked on our marriage and we're in a way better spot.
Yeah.
But it was just, so it's little things like you do express these to your spouse. Like I had it, even though I felt like it was petty, but it was eating away apparently at my, you know, the love that I had for him.
Right.
And it just kept like piling on. And so it was like, and then he talks about in the book, like trying to get rid of the easiest things. Like that was something easy that apparently made a huge impact in my view of him.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, tackle these things first before you start.
And even though it wasn't like, oh, the toothbrush tapping wasn't really the thing. It was the fact that I think as we've learned about, like, it's the fact that I was willing to make a change to accommodate that.
Yeah.
Right? And it was more of the action or the care that I was like, you know what? You're right. Okay. If it is bothering you, what for whatever reason, underlying reasons that are building up is let's get these things out of the way. Right.
Yeah.
And figure out what we've got left. Right. And I think.
And in that moment, your response was not to figure out why it bothered her.
No.
It was just to say, okay, it's not that big of a deal. I can stop.
I can change that, right? Like, and why not, right? It's like, oh, no, I'm going to tap my toothbrush forever, right? It's like, well, okay, who cares, right? I'll figure out another. I'll get a towel and wipe it off or whatever, right? Like,
don't wipe it off. That's gross. Yeah. That's interesting.
So, you know, it's those little things, right? Like she said, you just, in the classes, we do that too. It's like, you know, you'll get overwhelmed. It's just, oh my gosh, it's all these things. And I didn't realize, you know, you hated me so much. I was like, no, it's not that. It's just, let's start with the easy ones. Let's get these things knocked out of the way.
Yeah.
And as you get into that mentality of removing obstacles from your relationship, It just builds a bit better sense of intimacy. And a lot of it will be difficult conversations, right? And through those difficult conversations, you can build deeper intimacy with each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so it helps guide you through those things.
So from that example, the annoying habit wasn't necessarily the thing that built the issue. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, mm-hmm. so to speak. Right. So and that's one key when you're in a marriage and you feel like this little thing is just really pushed me over the edge. Yeah. There's another issue.
There's other things under there, right? And so until you start
picking on some, like not picking, but I noticed that. And then it was like, okay, well, like he didn't take the trash out. Right. And then you start snowballing into like, so I feel like those things, like when you start really finding things and then you're constantly finding the negative, it's just, it's hard to get out of that mind space, you know? And so it's also, I think, important to have, you know, friends who have the same values as you do in marriage, so that if I'm like, okay, well, you know, this happened, and they're like, okay, well, here, you know, encouraging you to talk to your spouse, you know, about it, or encouraging you in your marriage, because I think even now in society, there's so many people who are, who, oh, it's fine, just, you know, divorce them and you can find somebody else, because it's just, that's how society is right now. So it's about really important about finding friends, the church, and like getting involved to minister in your marriage.
And it was fun too, because as part of this class, there's been several couples in the class that have like started to build a relationship between the couples, right? So you're starting to realize that, you know, like she said, that these are the lifestyle and this is the values we have. And there are other people that are doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so then you can start to replace the bad habits and friendships and relationships with positive ones that are reinforcing the lifestyle and habits that you want to live in your relationship. You
know? Yeah. So that's so cool. So when it comes to building a strong marriage, and we're talking about the first book, His Needs, Her Needs, Love Busters, what are some kind of keys that fit between all those books? I know that's a very big question. Yeah. It's probably the most open-ended question I could think of. But are there things that I won't say is like a general prescription, but if you were someone's to come to you, marriage in crisis, what are some things you're like, well, I would start here, here, and here.
I think one of the biggest things our counselor had us do is like weekly check-ins.
Okay.
She gave us like a list of, and she's like, or a list of questions. Yeah. Sit down, pick a time during the week, and the, you know,
and
take the time to actually ask these questions. It was like, how are you doing spiritually? How are we doing physically, emotionally, even like sexually in a marriage? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of topics that maybe seem taboo or you don't want to talk about, but you're married and you need to talk about these things.
Right.
And it's, and so I think that for us made a huge, huge impact. And it, it does feel silly because you're like, you have your little piece of paper and you're like, okay, so just, you know, but it made you do those things. Yeah. It made you ask questions and kind of dig a little
deeper. You in a habit, right? Where one, you had a non-negotiable thing on your calendar that you are going to spend this time with your spouse, right? Because there is plenty of distractions in life that will draw you away. And that's a lot of the people when they're in these classes realize like, they spend very little time together, right? Like life pulls you there, work there, friends here, or even at dinner, you're just so busy and then everybody just goes their own way, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, we're in the same house, but we have spent 0 minutes together, right? And so you establish these non-negotiable times that this slot is for us, right? And then it puts some context into that time slot, right? We're not just sitting there like, I don't want to really talk to you.
Right.
Like, I haven't talked to you in 10 years. Why do I want to talk to you right now?
Yeah.
But then gives you these kind of structured questions that you start to answer and ask. And then, it's, like she said, it's super awkward the first couple of times because you have done zero preparation for this conversation, right? You know what the questions are, but it's just like, I don't know. I don't really. But then you start to realize like, oh, that thing, oh, that was one of the questions, right? I could tell her about that, right? And so then you start consciously thinking about things to draw the other person into your schedule, into your life. Or she has no care if I decide I'm gonna, you know, change my meeting agenda at work from this one to this one, right? She probably could care less. But at bringing her involved in those types of conversations, it's like, okay, I'm dragging you into every part of my life as much as possible, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the number one thing that every couple realizes is how little they really are involved in each other's lives, right? Then maybe even do date nights, right? But you don't really know what's going on from day to day in their life, right? And I think establishing times to be together and everything, just draw them into everything that you can, right? As much as possible.
Yeah. And that'll take you from that kind of roommate stage where so many people find themselves.
That's right.
Yeah. And with using the books as the framework, does that kind of make the conversation is awkward, obviously, but does that make the framework kind of like, I'll say the enemy, so to speak, like, hey, I have to ask it because it says I have to ask
That's right. Right. It takes that, that defensive mechanism away that like, I can't believe you're asking me this question, or why do I want to answer that question?
Yeah.
It is required because the book said to, so let's figure out how to attack that problem. Right. And there's questions that we have in there that are just like, I don't like that question.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and both of us are like, I don't like the way that question is even inferring. Right. And it's like, so then you start to realize like, oh, we're ganging up on the question, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that question. I'm going to answer it this way because this makes sense to us.
Yeah.
Right? And so you realize that it's like, okay, that was weird. Right.
Yeah.
Why did that happen? But it's because you're, like you said, you're taking that away from you attacking each other to like, let's attack the problems. And then you realize like, all right, we can do this at everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Anything that comes up, we can figure out a solution with God's help to attack any problem that's coming at our relationship or at our family, right?
Yeah. And when you, that goes from just kind of the awkward on the calendar schedule to more of a habit and daily thing, what kind of freedom and what's that like in your marriage?
You start to realize like how many things are not that important to take away that spot. Even when it was forced, it was like, I don't want to let that go anymore, right? Like we've got times on our calendar that I don't really care what's going on. Like friends are like, nope, sorry. That's that is our time, right? The kids, right? It's like, nope. Go to the game room, right? We're here for the next 3 hours. It's us, you know, and it frees you up to then gives you the reason to say no to a lot of stuff, right? I think a lot of couples and a lot of people just say yes to everything,
right? Yeah.
Because it feels like you're required to do it all. But not when it comes in conflict with you guys establishing the proper time and relationship, right? Then gives you that freedom to just kick the stuff off the calendar that's not important.
Yeah.
You know, that gets in the way of all these other things. So,
yeah. Because again, you're prioritizing your marriage, and that's the number one.
That's right.
So everything else can fall off the calendar if it's against that.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think when you have kids when they're little, which I think this is what happened or you know started a drift between us is we have kids. I'm working at home or not working at home, staying at home with the kids, and so my top priority became the kids instead of working on our marriage. And so you've got to take the time to where your spouse comes, you know, it's like God, your spouse, and then your kids are coming after it because you're going to be with your spouse for the rest of your life. So you've got to continue to work on that. And if I'm constantly putting the kids before him, it's going to cause some stress in our marriage, you know, stress with everything else. And so,
and people will go like, whoa, that seems wrong, right? You're prioritizing just, you know, selfishly taking away time from your children for your spouse. And I'm like, well, it actually works the opposite way around. The more you neglect this relationship, the more it hurts the entire family as a whole, right? Because they're not getting the proper amount of time, or they grow up and realize, you know, that they got a model of a marriage that isn't functional, right? And they realize in their first one that like, why isn't this successful? Why can't I make this work, right? I'm doing exactly what you and dad did, right? And then, well, that was the problem, right? So establishing this connection between your spouse and prioritizing that over everything else builds a model for them to be able to realize that, okay, we see how a proper marriage is run, then there's less time for conflict in the marriage. There's more time for family time, and then it builds a better image long term for them too, right? So it's not just about us at this time, it's about us and then the legacy we leave behind, right?
Right. And for and after children. Kids move out,
right,
you're still gonna be you guys.
Yeah, that's right. You're still here. And so it's like you don't wanna really be trying to discover who that person is 25 years later. It's
just
okay, what?
Right.
And there is no more distractions.
Right. Right?
Yeah. So it's just like, well, now what? Right? Yeah. Yeah. So you've spent all your time and effort in the children, and now it's just like, well, now what do I do? Right. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. So. When would you guys say is the best time to start working on a marriage?
Right.
Yeah, before you get married.
That's what I'm That's exactly right. Yeah, before you get married would be even better, yeah. Right? But if you're already married, like right now.
Well, there's a class here.
Okay.
The premarital
there
class
is.
Yeah.
That is really good. We taught it for, I guess, 2 semesters.
Okay.
And so, but it goes through stuff about what to talk to your spouse about before you get married. And it was like, we taught the class and we were like, we should have taken this before.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, dang. Like, and it was then like, because we were in the time we did teach that class before we taught this one. And it was like, oh man, like, man, that would have been super useful to know that thing,
this.
Right? Or just to have, because it was another one of those like structured conversation things, right?
Yes.
It's like,
yeah,
man, like requiring you to talk about the things that of your expectations going into marriage, right?
Yeah.
Same thing as my expectations of being married or my expectations of being married at this stage in my life. Like I've got teenage kids, I expect to be doing this, this, and this. And your spouse is like, well, that's not what I want, right?
Right.
And so then it's working through those things, right? But yeah, before you get married is even better of a time to just start working on those things. You build that groundwork then it makes a lot of that stuff easier to do when the real things happen, because every marriage, no matter what anybody's going to tell you, is there will be things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And there are going to be traumatizing things that are going to happen in a marriage, right? Whether it's between you or something that happened to the family, like those things are going to happen. It's then what have you done and what groundwork have you put in place to be able to handle that together and combat that as a couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that is so good. Man, do you guys have any sage advice? Just give us one nugget for couples listening to this. What would you say if you could focus on one thing to just drastically improve your marriage?
What? Why are you looking at me?
I thought you had it.
That was the nugget. He looked right at you, and that's the nugget. Defer to the wife. Yeah.
I was thinking the one statement we really like that says, right. Let's see if I can get it.
Okay.
If something with irreplaceable value is treated as common, heartbreak is sure to follow or sure to happen.
Okay.
And so it's just your marriage is an irreplaceable
object
value. And so if you start treating it as just something common in this world, there's going to be heartache for both of you involved.
Yeah,
So I feel like that statement.
Yep.
And then I guess like Deborah's drifting. I know it's two nuggets. That
two
was
nuggets.
You only get one.
So.
Unless he lets you take his. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that drift in a relationship is going to happen. So instead of just being surprised by it, understand that those things exist and are going to happen, and then actively work at removing the drift, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is spending time together, right?
Yeah.
Quality time together, not so much quantity of time in a room, but quality time together, right?
So. Yeah, and learning to reevaluate at every stage, like you all were saying.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, because these things are going to change.
It could change every year, could change every century. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
You don't know, but
yeah.
And you won't know unless you're talking and working those things out on a regular basis with your spouse.
Yeah. So give us the name of your class. What is it? So we can sign up for it.
It's Rediscovering Love and Marriage.
Okay. Rediscovering Love and Marriage.
And it said both, it's one title, but both His Needs, Her Needs and Love Busters are in there for two separate semesters, right? But it's one big class.
So. Yeah. That is awesome. Well, Lonnie, Robert, thank you guys so much
for having us.
Being on the podcast and for what you do for couples here and what you continue to do for couples in the community. And we appreciate it. And thank you guys for joining in to Friends You Can Grow With, and I hope you guys will join us next time.